You got Super Sentai in my Kamen Rider. You got Kamen Rider in my Super Sentai. Two great tastes that taste great together. We're talking about Space Sheriff Gavin. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd. It's a new year, and I am the same Drew, but we are talking about new stuff that's new to us, but in fact, quite old. Speaking of things that are quite old, Miles, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I didn't quite hear you there, Sonny.
Turn your headphones up. Turn your headphones up.
Oh, sorry. I think it goes without saying that, like, our particular brand of BS is Japanese tokusatsu in general. Like, you give us a way to watch any of it, and we are like kids in a candy store. So,
which is funny because we haven't really actually watched a ton of it. We've just watched...
We have and we haven't. We actually have watched a good bit.
We've just watched a little bit of a lot of things.
But we've watched a little bit of, like, a lot. Like, we've spread ourselves out pretty well. I mean, especially with our Super Sentai and our our Kamen Rider and Ultraman, we did a number of shows.
Yeah.
I guess Kamen Rider we did the least, I would say.
Well, Kamen Rider was the least available. Easily.
Ultraman you can kind of find everywhere somehow, and Super Sentai you can reasonably find.
Yeah. So that's where we get into what we're talking about this month, as we talk about, we're calling this Gavanuary, despite the fact that this show was not always a quote-unquote metal hero show. But when we talk about the tent poles of tokusatsu, normally we're talking about Super Sentai, your Power Rangers style, your Kamen Riders, and your Ultramans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another leg to that stool that has been very popular over the years, but has probably the fewest entries in all of them. And that is the Metal Heroes. Now, Metal Heroes technically started with the show we're going to talk about next week, but the show that we're talking about today has been sort of grandfathered in to the Metal Heroes franchise, much like some of the early Super Sentai shows were not Super Sentai until they were made Super Sentai. We talked about that years ago,
and I think this one's a little more like clear cut than the Super Sentai stuff. Especially because they share like a lot more visual DNA pretty consistently until they don't. And like Drew said, this show, like, if you talk to folks and even moderately nerdy folks, you know, you might get an eyebrow raised at a Super Sentai. Most people probably have heard of Ultraman or Kamen Rider, especially after the Hideaki Anno movies became international hits.
Yeah.
Metal Hero is, yeah, probably the least known. That's probably the deepest cut in terms of your big franchise, maybe Garo as well. But in terms of like stuff that most Americans probably have interacted with at some point in their life, if they're over the age of 40, or, you know, 38 to 41, this was brought, three different Metal Hero shows were brought over here and adapted into Saban's VR Troopers, which is something that many people are familiar with. And one of the reasons the show ended was not because of the lack of popularity, but the lack of available footage.
Yeah, there was a point where one of the characters in VR Troopers loses his powers and has to get new powers that also consequently come with a brand new different suit because they needed more footage from a different suit.
But it wasn't just VR Troopers, and probably the one that weirdly has the biggest connection with this particular show, because early on, Mike and Drew took it upon themselves to watch.
We talked about three typical average kids inside a haunted mansion who just by chance freed a ghost, and then they were Beetleborgs.
Yes.
So yes, the B-Fighter and B-Fighter Kabuto shows that were, again, not always Metal Heroes, but have been incorporated into the Metal Heroes franchises, or Metal Heroes franchise. They of course were transformed into Big Bad Beetleborgs and Beetleborgs Metallics, that we of course covered here on the show.
Many moons ago. Pre me.
I think that might be pre my son being born. It was very early on. Yeah, in the show.
It was early on. And I feel like, you know, this is the franchise that has slowly been getting some releases. Discotech Media especially has been putting out like the Space Sheriff stuff. I think they've put out a B-Fighter Blu-ray. I know that like they're the ones that have been putting the stuff out, which is also probably why some of the stuff is tougher to find on streaming, because rights issues, as always, when it comes to Japanese media, are a cluster. And especially when it comes to big franchises, we know all about that, don't we, Drew? like a large portion of the things that we are intimately interested in have been like blocked off to us for a very long time until the last like few years. Drew is actually showing a toy right now.
I'm waving to Miles with a VF1 Valkyrie, which is ironically a Robotech toy and not a Macross toy.
Right. Sometimes you gotta do that.
You gotta get what you can get, dog. That's what I'm saying. All right. So before we get in, Drew,
did you watch VR Troopers when you were young?
I did. I also, and I looked for it and I couldn't find it. I think it might be at my parents' house. I believe it was a Burger King kids meal toy.
It was a Burger King kids meal toy, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the pendant that the VR Troopers used to transform by yelling, "We are VR."
Which honestly, VR Troopers is a great concept and a good way of like, hey, this is how we can make this show work for this concept. I have to say it was pretty cool just because like it wasn't also just straight up copying Power Rangers. It was being a different kind of superhero show that wasn't tattooed teens from Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Which was, thankfully, there is no Japanese counterpart for that abomination.
What a weird show. We covered that, right? We covered that show.
I feel like we did.
I think we did.
You and I at least had a long conversation. I don't think we were super sober, but you and I went down a rabbit hole one time with the tattooed teens from Beverly Hills. I don't know if we actually did a more nerd episode on it.
I'm not gonna look it up because you know.
No, I think we performed an episode to no one for ourselves in the middle of the night.
may have. So
may have.
But it's interesting watching this because of course we've watched a ton of Super Sentai. We've watched a ton of. I don't really count Ultraman as part of this as much because Ultraman is really its own thing.
I mean that's fair. But it is Tokusatsu Television. Like it does predate most of it, and it really comes more from kaiju than anything else.
Right.
But
right.
It does set the precedent of what does become, you know, that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when we did our when we taught at Wofford College about anime, we did go into the things that inspired larger things but don't often get like the credit that it deserves,
right?
Whether it be the Accidental Teenage Pilot or the Teen Team, you know, obviously I'm specifically talking about the two things that Drew and I taught at Wofford College, that being Gundam and Science Ninja Teen Gatchaman. Unfortunately that these lectures were not filmed.
We don't know that. We were very We were very popular.
I should ask Dr. Zides if he takes those classes.
So,
I remember is those kids ate every single one of your bad jokes, and it infuriated me. I was texting Mike. I'm like, you are not going to believe this.
It's almost like I got my finger on the pulse of making young people laugh.
We talked to that crowd afterwards. That's not what that was.
Yeah. So
they were all nerds.
So this is the interesting thing because I remember we covered Beetleborgs and Beetleborgs is its own thing, and I don't remember a ton of VR Troopers at all. Not that that really
I have not watched VR Troopers in probably 30 years.
Not that that matters a lot for what a Metal Hero show is, but it was interesting watching Space Cop Gavin or Space Sheriff Gavin, depending on where you're looking at the translation. The show is officially
Sheriff, personally.
The show is officially titled Space Sheriff Gavin, but when you watch it on the official Toei YouTube, it is Space Cop Gavin. It feels like this weird amalgamation of a lot of things. So you think about the Super Sentai shows, it's a team, they're all in multicolored outfits. And at some point, they will call upon a giant robot because the monster they're fighting gets really big. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've got Kamen Rider that is a solo. And the Sentai outfits are usually spandex. You've got Kamen Rider, which is typically a more armored, however, typically a more biological armor looking thing. Smoother textures, looking like bugs most of the time. Grasshoppers specifically. Though sometimes beetles and other stuff, but they are ground level fighting ground level monsters. So with Gavin specifically, and we'll see if this continues through the course of the other shows, you've got kind of this mixture of both. You have a solo hero who is wearing a more armored costume, but the armor looks more like technology. But because it's technology-based, you also have a spaceship and a giant dragon mecha that he can ride on.
I love that dragon mech. It looks kind of useless in what we've seen the show so far. Like, in terms of, like, yeah, it sometimes fires some stuff. Otherwise, it's just there.
Yeah.
But it looks sick. If you watched Power Rangers and remember that Lord Zedd's like Serpentera, kind of the Chinese dragon Zord, it's very similar to that. It's got kind of that Chinese dragon look to it, except it's blue and it looks really sick. And I also like the fact that, like, when we talk about tokusatsu shows, you know, you typically have, you know, the kind of the henshin, the transformation into whatever the hero is. And I do love that, like, whether it's Metal Hero or Kamen Rider, Sentai or Ultraman, they all have very specific looks. Even when you veer off with like B-Fighter and the like, they all look like Metal Heroes in the same way that for the most part, Super Sentai characters always look like Sentai. Ultraman is its own thing. Kamen Rider, same thing. And I really appreciate that they have these very specific looks.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I really, at least with Gavin, I really love the Space Sheriff outfit a lot.
It's pretty cool because it looks like a dope piece of, like, it looks, I mean, this is 1982. We're in 1982.
It feels every bit 80s sci-fi.
But it looks like, because it's armored. It's got these big chunky pieces to it. And the helmet, unlike a Super Sentai helmet, even of the same era, looks like it's composed of pieces that are, you know, like a spacesuit almost. Luckily, he can still move in it pretty well. But it's like it's of this other stuff, but it's very much its own thing. And when we get into the other shows, I think we're going to continue to see what that looks like.
I really do like, I mean, I obviously, you know, I saw VR Troopers and always liked how they look, but I, especially with Gavin specific, I just love the Space Sheriff look. I just think it's so cool.
It's really, really dope. You should look it up. If you're only listening to this and didn't watch the show with us, cause it's pretty neat.
Also get these like kind of transitional sequences, which obviously was meant for commercials, but you get this kind of like matte painting. They just keep shifting one of like Gavin with the kind of dragon ship, and then one of Gavin just kind of like looking towards space or whatever. They look like the boxes of toys that you would buy.
Well, there was a cool moment in the fourth episode that we watched that there's this demon helmet that will make you all powerful, and they show this like this vignette of still images that are these same kind of paintings, but they look like ancient versions of the mm-hmm. space sheriff armor. It's really freaking cool.
It's really sick. Also, I we'll get to that because I love how that episode ends. It's a great episode. Before we like fully get into it, I kind of want to talk about the formatting, because out of all the tokusatsu shows that we've watched, you know, Super Sentai is often very, very different from its Power Rangers counterpart. There's typically an ongoing story that goes throughout the entire show, whereas Power Rangers was like week to week. Same with Kamen Rider and Ultraman. This show felt the most Power Rangers of anything we've watched so far, because it did seem to have, all right, these set things happen every episode, and while we do have a couple of story beats moving forward, we've only watched four episodes, but certainly less so than the other shows that we've watched, it did very much feel much more Saturday morning like entertainment than the toku shows that we've seen prior.
I say it definitely feels more of that than Kamen Rider specifically, because Kamen Rider seemed to be much more serialized. I understand what I'm talking about when I say that. It's not that serialized in comparison.
It's decently serialized. And but, certain like especially Heisei era Sentai shows are very serialized.
Yeah. But that this show does feel very, I don't want to say formulaic, because I think that makes it sound bad, but it definitely follows a pattern where
it has a very specific structure. And I feel for everyone that has called Super Sentai the younger brother show, this feels like the younger brother show. Like it's not, doesn't feel like toned down, because like dude is still murdering bad guys. But it does seem to follow, like I said, a Saturday morning cartoon vibe.
Yes, very much so. And I think it's part of that is that there is a large portion of the cast of this show, unlike, well, I guess some of the Kamen Rider shows got into this too, but that are just children. Gavin, when he is in his, human form of Retsu Ichijoji, just works at a horse ranch that also has a bunch of kids hanging around it all the time.
The Avalon Riding Club, which they don't really determine as a horse riding club until like episode 2 or 3.
No, they do in episode 1, because the dude is leading a horse through while the kids are playing soccer, and they're like, we thought we could play soccer. It's like, This is a track. Get off of the track.
See, I didn't really put together when they said it was a riding club, like, until I was like, oh, okay, so they're a horse thing. Because like I saw him, but like I just saw there was a bunch of kids playing, so I figured it was some sort of like after school club or something.
So
because they all call the guy Grandpa,
which is hilarious. This is another thing that I think is maybe they just didn't have the technology to do it at the time. Despite the fact that they opened this show by saying they used the newest technology to film it. He's a space sheriff, hence why he hangs out at a place where you can ride horses. This is great. Mm-hmm. He wears silver as like a silver star. All of this is great. All of this is me putting all this together. The one thing that I'm missing here with Space Sheriff Gavin is that he doesn't have a space horse. He does not ride a space horse into battle.
No, but he rides a dragon, so that's pretty cool.
I guess that's true. And he also, I guess he doesn't really have a six shooter or anything like that, but he does shoot a laser beam Zed that blows people up.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, so let's
if I'm being honest.
So let's get into the show, because this is where, again, it's 1982 in Japan and things just get wacky. I love anytime this happens, but it seems to happen a lot with Japanese stuff when an organization is just an organization for a thing. And I especially love it when that thing is just crime. Crime organization Maku. And I know what they're meaning. They're trying to do a play on the mafia with the leader of them being Don Horror.
Who looks awesome.
He looks awesome, except his face doesn't move.
but even though you see a face like under the face,
but his little tiny arms that are not the big giant arms, those do move. It's weird.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I love crime organization Maku. And the Super Sentai shows have done crime organizations too, but I just think it's hilarious that you have what is effectively a governing body.
Here's the thing is, like, go down to Earth, turn everyone into criminals, like, just cause crime. So it's nothing but crime. And I'm like, well, then what do you do? What do you do then when it's all crime?
Love it, because you're stealing stuff. Like, they just want to.
But then when everything's, when everyone's like criminals, then it's like, well, what do you do? Like,
these guys just. They just love
crime.
They
don't seem to think of their plan very, very well. It's like, yeah, we just want a world of criminals. This is our new planet, I guess. I don't know. It's so funny.
And this is where the other side of this show comes in, that because of course they want to dominate Earth and they want to overcome it and spread crime and they want to create panic and assert dominance and all this stuff. But this is another one of those things where, okay, you have the Galaxy Federal Police, of which Gavin is a space sheriff, a space cop of, and he is called to go to Earth and defend it. Very, mm-hmm. very stereotypical, you know, tokusatsu stuff.
Yeah.
But I also love that, oh yeah, Earth is a planet, just like it is at whatever time it is. But there is a whole space organization that exists and knows about it that Earth has no context for.
That's not entirely uncommon, because, I mean, in a lot of times where we get that, where it's like, oh, well, these people are just, they're not advanced.
Yeah.
So we're just going to leave them alone unless we want to terrorize them.
But this is also where Gavin himself.
But also Gavin's mom comes from Earth.
Yeah, Gavin's mom comes from Earth, and his dad comes from Planet Bird, which is the planet that Gavin was raised on.
I love it. I love it. Just Planet Bird. I'm sure there's a better translation for that, but keep it that way.
Yeah.
Planet Bird's awesome.
It took me too long to realize that the reason that his girlfriend turned into a bird all the time is because they're from Planet Bird.
Yeah.
And her little helmet. Mimi. Her little helmet looks like a little bird beak.
I also love that. Well, we'll get to that one, but I think it's the end of the fourth episode where it's like, there's no time for dates, Gavin.
Gavin doesn't have time for dates. He's got to. Stop Maku.
Yeah, this show has a narrator that is pretty consistent. This is not a first episode only thing. This narrator is throughout what we watched and gives so much exposition.
I also love it because every time he transforms in 0.5 seconds. But then like,
0.05
seconds. 0.05
seconds.
Thank you. But let's look at that again. And then they make sure to show us in slow motion what's actually going on in that 0.05 seconds.
The first time they did that, I loved it. Times 2 through 4, I was done. Now, this is what I'm talking about, where it's like kind of like a Power Rangers thing, where like they have it so that if you've never seen an episode, you can just jump right in. They explain everything. He will do every single move. He will do the Z laser. He'll do the spinal kick. He'll do all that stuff.
Spiral kick. But it's also, keep in mind, we're watching the first 4 episodes. You might have to explain stuff a little heavy early on in the show because you're trying to get new viewers.
I'm not knocking it. I was just saying, by episode 4, I was tired of hearing about the explanation of the transformation. I'll watch it. I don't need you to tell me.
So you have Retsu Ichijoji / Gavin, who basically goes and fights Maku guys every week. And you might think, oh, so this is going to be more like Kamen Rider, where they fight a bunch of weird little dudes. And in fact, the weird little dudes, the Maku bad guys, I can't remember what they're, are they just called mutants? I can't remember what they're called.
I think they are just called mutants. I could be wrong, but...
Crushers. They're called Crushers.
I don't remember that.
They also, much like in Kamen Rider, make a noise every time they're on screen. And it's like, I struggled. I even started Googling, why do they do this? But of course, American Google gives me nothing.
Well, because there's one bit where, like, it's more prominent, where it's not just the bad guys. It's like, you just hear this, like, weird laughter, this and it's perfectly creepy, but also, like, it's nonsense. I do love that. This does feel, in terms of, like, how they deliver the monsters, a lot more like Kamen Rider, except for the fact that each episode, Dawn Horror is, like, sending a new jackhole down there to be kind of, like, governed by Hunter Killer, who is, as we find out, a former space sheriff who betrayed the organization.
Not just
and possibly has something to do with the disappearance / death of Gavin's father.
Not just, yeah, I was going to say, not just the betrayed the organization, betrayed Gavin's dad, which...
Who's Miles, Voicer? Is that his name?
Voicer is his name. Miles, you want a spoiler?
Yeah, sure.
Voicer does later appear in the show, played by legend Sonny Chiba.
Oh man, love that. R.I.P. to a goat for sure.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. So it's so weird. And Hunter Killer, of course, has this crazy mask with a space eye patch on it and some.
It's very, very anime. In fact, he feels very kind of, when I see his outfit, I'm like, Akira Toriyama liked this show, didn't he?
I think it's
even his armor kind of feels like a proto version of like the Dragon Ball Z characters.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. He's also got like the crazy makeup, the black eye makeup, and the funky lip shade.
The makeup for bad guys in 80s Japanese tokusatsu shows is second to none.
It's awesome. And I think some of the best, some of the coolest, most interesting looking dudes in this show are the double men, which are like these sort of weird looking, like they've got kind of a beak, but they've got the fangs coming out of the beak. And there's a bunch of them, but they all look kind of slightly different. It's really strange how
there's different kinds of double men. And they bring that concept up a couple times. They really hammer it in episode 4 is where we get like, an encounter between Gavin and a double man, like full on, like, oh, I'm going to trick him.
We had seen a double man earlier, and I don't think I clocked that dude died, and this was supposed to be a second double man.
Right.
but we've got all this going on, but then we also have the BEM monsters, the BEM monsters, which I don't know what that means. They never really explained it.
Right.
But these monsters are, this is where it also gets kind of a combination of Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, because you fight these monsters that are very themed. Like you've got one that's like this sort of weird, I don't know whether it's a crab or something that's skittering around. You've got one that's
like a horseshoe crab almost.
Yeah, you've got a beach ball frog, you've got a scorpion monster, and all of these things that when you're fighting them on Earth, they're it's just like when the Power Rangers fight the monsters, or the Super Sentai teams fight the monsters on the planet, and then somebody makes the monsters grow. Well, They don't make the monsters grow necessarily or every time. What they do, and this is unique to to at least Gavin. We'll see if this continues into the other shows, but they go into Maku space, which is apparently a dimension that the Maku are from or control. I don't really understand what it is yet. It makes
them 3 times stronger. That's all I remember.
10 times stronger. It's times stronger. I
think mine said 3 times.
I saw 10 times, but, you know, it's okay.
Either way, they're stronger.
they're stronger. And so, but it's like, it's this one, it probably makes it easier to fight because they're not fighting in cities or the same, like, empty field every time.
The same gravel quarry.
The same gravel quarry every time that Kamen Rider fought in. But they are fighting in similar but different sort of like a sort of weird space where, like, stuff is flying. Like, that was one of the cool things. Like, yeah, weird stuff is flying by, and
you've got these cool, like, matte paintings of, like, planets and moons and stuff kind of, like, being superimposed in here. It's a very cool looking thing.
Like, I'll space tell you what I didn't debris
like about these sequences.
Space debris flies by, and there's a bunch of stuff. Yeah. What did you not like
about it? The one formulaic thing I disliked about this show is, for whatever reason, every episode the monster bad guy disappears and Gavin has to use his like special visor vision.
Yeah, it's I forget what the
I can't remember what it was, but like the first time I was like, okay, but when they kept repeating that part of the fight in every episode, I was like, okay, that's dumb. Like, well, all of your moons,
they only did that, I think, 2 out of the 3 episodes.
I think they did at least 3 out of the 4 episodes.
I don't remember them doing it in the scientist episode, but I could be wrong. I don't remember.
It happens more than once, which is more than enough. Like that little bit, because it's the same gag. I was just like, all right, you can stop that right now.
I do get that, but I also love that it does give the excuse to have, oh, this is a science hero because an antenna is coming out of his helmet and it's not just like magical powers or
that. And if you sold a helmet or some sort of like viewfinder or something that allows you to see as Gavin, like kids would eat that up. I would have bought that also when I was a kid.
Is what puts the eyes on the mask, which is
a
good look. It's a great look.
I love the eyes on the mask. Like, again, I'm a big fan of the Metal Hero design. I love the way, like, I'm probably gonna have to get a Gavin figure or something, which they will probably put out with this new series. I'm sure I could find some now, but
yeah. So yeah, as part of this, it's really just him working together. His girlfriend is also just kind of there. And she's a little bird that lives in his pocket until she uses her. I don't remember what her power is either. It's some.
I don't. You talking about Mimi?
Yeah, Mimi. What is her ability?
She's got
laser vision. Vision.
She's got some sort of vision. Yeah.
But she uses that to be a little teeny bird spy. Whenever the kids run into the space, Gavin's like, Mimi, and then she goes and just turns into a human and rescues the kids. It's all very fun.
Oh yeah.
But
I will say, like, it's tough, like, trying to, like, go into each one of these episodes because they do the first 4 at least follow almost the exact same formula. Like, there is something that Don Horror wants done. He sends the guy out and Gavin fights him because usually they are endangering a child or this one reporter who is constantly looking for UFOs and honestly ends up being more helpful than not.
I think they're setting him up to be a big assist character for Gavin.
I think so too.
Which is funny to me because it really... Oyama, I think is his name. I really thought that in the in apparently this guy is in the 83 and 84 shows as well, so he kind of shows up.
Oh heck yeah,
he may be our you know, key character that shows up in a bunch of things. He might just have cameos. I can't tell from this article, but he's sort of lighthearted. He's kind of goofy. I really thought that he was going to get revealed that he knows who Gavin is, or that what's his name, Retsu, is Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets knocked out, and so he doesn't. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Well, and that's the weird thing is, like, at the end of the first episode, like, all of those kids seem to be around when Gavin transformed, and then he like untransforms, takes the kids back to the writing club, and then joins the writing club as like for a job. But it's like, I guess he has a secret identity, because like the grandpa character is like, yeah, I have no idea wherever he goes. And I'm like, well, did we not all just see this guy transform into a metal hero? Well, and I'm pretty sure we did.
That's kind of the other thing that I have to talk about with this, because I don't know that anybody knows that this is happening.
It's weird, right?
like, so, I mean, obviously the people of Tokyo know that things are happening because a giant ship was stolen and then hilariously turned into a pirate ship by the Maku, which is hilarious that they turned this big tanker ship into a pirate ship. But
also, the Japanese government is being blackmailed to give them Mount Fuji.
Just like, it's hilarious.
Which is great. I loved that.
Well, that is maybe one of my favorite moment, is that they order the nation of Japan to give the Maku all of their diamonds. Well, they don't call themselves the Maku. They call themselves
Alpha.
Alpha. The criminal organization Alpha says, give us all of the diamonds of this entire country, or we're going to drop this ship on Tokyo and it's going to destroy everything. So they do it. And also, the box of diamonds is only like this big. It's not a lot of diamonds.
So great.
It seems like if there were diamonds that they wanted, they maybe should have conquered a different country. But they do it. And then they're like, oh, tell them to give us Mount Fuji just to see if we can get away with it. It's like,
that's the vibe. It's like, let's just see what these losers are going
to
do.
Yeah. Will they give it to us? They'll give it to us because they're idiots. But all of that, Japan and the people of Japan knows are happening. But Gavin, I don't think, is a known entity fighting back against them yet as of four episodes into the show.
He's not nationally known like your Kamen Rider, well, not like your Super Sentai or your Ultraman. Like, he doesn't turn giant. So unless you're present for the battle, you don't know what's going on.
And
so you're right. This is a little bit different.
And again, this is where I think this is so interesting, because it is an amalgamation of all of these different tokusatsu things in this its own thing.
Yeah. Which I, you know what, like, there are some things, like, I know it might sound like we're being critical, but like, it's just because this show is a little bit different. It's certainly not bad. I had greatly enjoyed my time with it.
Oh, it was a ton of fun, and it was very, like, I didn't know what to expect, I think, is why I'm sort of maybe over thinking a lot of this stuff.
That, and it is very Saturday morning cartoon, and that's not a bad thing, but it does make it easier to be like, you know, to kind of ha-ha at a couple things, like, oh yeah, let's ask for Mount Fuji, why not?
So, you know? So stupid, but I love it,
like,
so much.
That is something that would have happened like in Captain Planet or something like that, that we grew up with, like 100%.
Or in the final episode where they're looking for this ancient helmet that went in this old war 5,000 years ago on planet Bird. Anybody that wore that helmet was completely invincible and indestructible and all this stuff. And then one of the bad guys gets it and puts it on, and he beats the guy. And it's like, oh, well, of course, after 5,000 years, it just lost its magic. Like, it's so stupid. It's so dumb.
I love that reveal. It's so dumb, but also, like, kind of perfect. I was like, this is great. They built... I feel like it was almost, like, subverting everyone's expectations because they build up, oh, this is gonna be some big massive moment. Like, nah, that thing ran out of juice centuries ago. It's a paperweight.
Yeah.
I frankly loved that reveal. I thought that was so funny.
Well, speaking of things that are kind of combinations of a bunch of stuff, I do want to talk about Kenji Takahashi, who is the actor for I guess Kenji Takahashi is his real name. Kenji Oba is his stage name. He is the performer for Gavin. But this is not the first role he has had in a tokusatsu show. Mm-mm. He actually began his career as a suit actor. He was a suit actor in
Jack Q.
Go Ranger. He was in Go Ranger as a suit actor. And he was also in, he played a face actor in, it was Battle Fever J, Jakku, J-A-K,
yes. He's in that. He's also in, Kikaider, and, he's a special forces, soldier, like a extra in the original Gamera movie,
which is hilarious, which would have been, of course, years before any of this stuff happened.
Yeah, 65.
But yeah, just long career, and continues to do, you know, a bunch of stuff. He was
and
another
looks almost the exact same.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is like 70 now, but he's doing okay. He's looking all right.
Yeah. I would love if he was one that would get some US cons, because he looks super fit still. Like, and I know he's continually worked he did some suit work at least with the Space Sheriff stuff, I think, even up until 2017. When he may have just been Gavin at that point. I don't know if he did suit work, but he stayed in the franchise.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was a character in this upcoming thing.
I can't imagine they're not going to use him, because it's the first Metal Hero show in almost 30 years. It's the first Space Sheriff show in almost 40 years.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine they wouldn't at least try to get him at some point in time. He has his own stunt troupe called Luck Jet, and Jet being an acronym for Jaunty Eventful Troop.
Love it. Love this guy.
I love this guy too. He's great.
This guy's great. So this is where we should probably talk a little bit about why we're covering this now. Because at the very end of last year, trailers came out for what is going to be, Project Red?
Project Red is, I guess a little more background. So yeah. This last year was effectively the so-called last year of Super Sentai as we know it. I feel like there was a lot of kind of corporate stuff going on, because once Power Rangers started to separate themselves from Super Sentai officially, Super Sentai was like, oh, cool, we're no longer tied to the global Power Ranger stuff. We can do whatever we want now, and we can focus on building the brand outside of Power Rangers.
I think that's part of the coin. I think another part of the coin, and this coin has multiple sides, it's a space coin, so, you know.
It's a 20-side die.
Yeah. Is that you have a lot of these big-time anime shows that have also been going literally 50 episodes a year still in 2025, stopping doing that and going to smaller 12 to 24 episode season runs.
Mm-hmm.
But the Super Sentai shows have still been going those 50
episodes
a year.
Yeah.
And I think the money's just not there.
I could see that. So what a lot of people love saying, oh yeah, Super Sentai is dead. It's not true. It's the brand as we know it is changing. And part of it is this Project Red initiative. And the first project under this is the revival of the Space Sheriff franchise with Space Sheriff Gavin Infinity.
Super Space Sheriff Gavin Infinity. And when you watch the trailer for Super Space Sheriff Gavin Infinity, you look like, man, this sure does look like a Super Sentai show, doesn't it?
I mean, the thing is like, really, so does Gavin. Like, Gavin does feel like a Super Sentai show outside of the design.
Yes, this is Gavin Metal Hero Designs, but there's a red one, there's a blue one, there's a gold one. There might be
which does happen in the Metal series.
Sure, sure. There's probably going to be two other colors that we see hinted at.
I am A-okay with it. There is
a combining mecha that looks like a giant version of a Metal Heroes character.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
And this is supposed to debut in February, which is why we are talking about this now, so that we can kind of prep ourselves for what will hopefully be something outside of all of the hang-ups of Super Sentai and Kamen Rider and stuff, that we can just kind of maybe watch this on YouTube week to week, fingers crossed.
Yeah, because one of the things they said, now they were kind of separate, and this is what I'm talking about with the separation from Hasbro and Power Rangers, or Saban and Power Rangers, was that they can focus on global distribution and the global brands, which, yes, for me means that, yes, we will... I doubt maybe we'll get a simulcast with Crunchyroll or something. That's happened with these shows before, but I would hope that we get something. And there are many avenues, because they've made a lot of friends, whether it's through Shout or Toku Shoutsu, or through Discotech Media, or through Tubi, which if you want to watch Gavin, that one is on Tubi right now. And the official Toei YouTube. I am hoping against hope that means that there will be some sort of availability for Western viewers, because I would absolutely love to watch Tokusatsu week to week. It would actually make me use the Crunchyroll subscription that I still pay for and don't often use enough. Because I'm one of those people that like should learn, hey, if I'm not using it, I can just turn it off. But
hey,
I don't.
Miles, you want to know the secret to getting a Crunchyroll subscription and having it used? Teenage children. That will just watch Demon Slayer and One Piece and My Hero Academia and Spy Family and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, all the big ones, and you know me, I don't usually watch all the big ones. I watch the slice of life like stuff, and then occasionally some Gundam.
Yeah, it's very funny if you watch my watch list on Crunchyroll versus my children's watch list on Crunchyroll. They're very, very different things.
I would imagine so.
So with that said, I know we didn't get super deep into Space Sheriff Gavin this week.
But there's not a lot to get into with these first four episodes.
Yes.
I think that's what I was kind of getting at with it, the Saturday morningness of it. Like, we could have talked about, oh yeah, and this one starred this monster and this monster. But there really doesn't even feel like there's a lot of plot there.
The monsters don't factor into the show nearly as much as they do in Super Sentai or Kamen Rider. Like in Kamen Rider, it's Bat Monster, it's Spider Monster, it's all of these things. In Super Sentai, it's that monster that's causing all the trouble that week. In Gavin, the monsters are just kind of there as defenders of whatever the bad guy, the real bad guy that is consistent week to week, has been doing that week. It's been like I don't even know that they talk. I think they just kind of attack. It's kind of a weird situation with that. But, you know, we'll see if that plays out next week. Now, next week, we're taking a trip a little bit into the future, into what was at the time the actual first Metal Heroes show. As we said at the beginning, the Space Sheriff stuff has been rolled into the Metal Hero stuff, but this was technically the first Metal Hero show at the time. 1985's Mega Beast Investigator Jaspion, which is also spelled Jaspion on the Toei official YouTube, which is where I'm going to watch it. And once again, we are going to cover the first four episodes of this. Now, what is Jaspion? This is a great one, guys. While reading the Galactic Bible, the space hermit Edgin learns of a shocking prophecy. When the dark god Satan Goth awakens, the universe will be ravaged by giant monsters filled with rage.
So much.
This is hopefully going to be dope. We'll see. 1985's Metal Beast Investigator Just Beyond, sometimes also known as Space Wolf Just Beyond, and also spelled Jaspion in a number of official sources. That's going to be next week as we continue Gavanuary as we dive deeper and deeper into the Metal Heroes franchise. So, gang, that's where we're going to end our show this week. If you want to find us, you can find us online in a number of different places. Of course, you can find us at themoreyounerd.com, which is our website where you can find this and every other episode of our show going back a shockingly long amount of time compared to the amount of money that we make on the show, which is nothing. You can find us on social media at The More You Nerd or /TheMoreYouNerd at just about everything on just about everything. And of course you can email us themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can also find me and Miles on our sister podcast, Cosmic Crit. What is Cosmic Crit? Well, it's a show where me and Miles and all of our friends play the Starfinder tabletop role-playing game by Paizo. That show has been going on for like 12 years
Eight
now.
Years now?
It's a long time. It's a long time now. And you can find that at CosmicCrit.com. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com, of course, you can check out all those shows. You can also look in the upper right-hand corner of the Cosmic Crit website for the link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. If you join that Discord, you can find your own tabletop RPGs to play, which is awesome. Or you can just talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, we're going to end the show as we always do with a rousing nerd out.
Tuner for y'all. We'll be right back.